play games with our international Indigenous rights, the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. This is a really important document agreement that we should be celebrating and being really proud of. We've been committed to it for more than 10 years now. It's part of the fabric of our law. And look, it's an amazing document. It's an amazing agreement, I think, for all of us around the world, around at last finally recognizing that, you know, that Indigenous peoples, you know, have human rights, that we have the same rights as everyone else. And why should we shy away from a document that is about respect, bringing us together, finally overturning ideas of colonization, assimilation? So the UNDRIP, the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, is such an important document for us here in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Human rights, that's what I heard you say. It's a basic human right to allow all peoples, all humanity, to think and feel the way that they are, as either Indigenous peoples or peoples who have gone to live or stay somewhere else. But every individual human has the right to exist as they wish to be. That's really what it is. Boils down to in a nutshell, does it not?
Exactly. So like the first article of the Declaration reads, Indigenous peoples have the right to full enjoyment of all human rights. You know, the second article, Indigenous peoples are free from discrimination. You know, why would we not applaud that declaration? Why would we now try to renounce that as a country? These are fundamental, basic parts of any decent society. And we're a decent society here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and ought to be embracing, promoting the declaration, just as we have been doing for the past 10 years. It's already part of the fabric of our law. The courts, the judges are referring to it. And I think it makes a better place for us as a country, for all peoples, including Māori.
And so for that very argument that you have just put forward, it's part of our courts. It's part of the way we conduct ourselves. It's part of, you know, the treaty ensures that. So why UNDRIP then?
So, well, look, it's another international lever. It's a international commitment that puts us on par with other countries around the world. It creates another layer of action for us as a country. And I think we need to see that UN declaration sitting alongside our Te Tiriti o Waitangi. Both documents are important constitutional documents for our country. They lay our pathways forward.
Interestingly, I was at the announcement by Minister Jackson, and during the stand up, the media stand up post his announcement, during his announcement, he talked about aims and aspirations of Māori, of Indigenous peoples, future development, our future goals, our aspirations for our children and our tamariki. The questions following afterwards were, is it separatist? Is it segregation? Is this about separate development? So obviously when they heard goals and aspirations, they heard the word separatist. When they heard future dreams for our children and mokopuna, they heard the word separatist. So it brings me back to my first question. Why? Why are we hearing two totally different kōrero when it's been delivered to us?
Look, I think it's politics at play. I think it's articulating a fear that I really hope that us as a country are becoming more mature, more sophisticated around our commitments to reconciliation. Those hopes and dreams are part of our Treaty of Waitangi settlements that our country has been committed to for more than 20 years now. in terms of that modern nation making. And look, it is a disrupting of where we are at currently, and it should be. Our whole country has been built on colonial ideas. Those colonial ideas are about assimilation, monocultural, one way, the Pākehā way. Those laws and policies that created this colonial society that we have today, they use the words in the legislation about destroying Māori, destroying Māori knowledge, destroying Māori language, all of that. So we want to change that, and through that disruption and that change and becoming much more respectful as a country, there is going to be change. And I suppose some may fear that, but I don't think there's anything to fear here. And in Te Puapua, we put together so many different ideas. There's little ideas, big ideas, short-term ideas, long-term ideas. Look, it was just a little group of nine of us. We were ministerially appointed, both Māori and Pākehā, over a very short period of time. And we put together a whole lot of draft ideas. The report itself runs for pages and pages and pages. And look, it's just meant to be a starting point. Iwi, Māori throughout the country will have their own ideas. New Zealanders across the country will have their own ideas for how we could become Te Tiriti o Waitangi compliant. And look, I think that's a real hopeful conversation for us. And I hope we don't get sidetracked into that fear or that notion that their only way forward is through separatism. Look, there could be some components where we might do some things differently and separately, but that's only one idea. There's so many ideas in here, and I just really hope that we as a country all have an opportunity to think about what does it mean to have a respectful, reconciled country? If we're going to have a country that has bicultural foundations, that works in a multicultural way for all of us, what is that going to look like? How can we do that? And of course, that's going to mean some changes to the current operation of this society. This current operation of society is not working for the most part for Māori and for many people here in Aotearoa. And so I think this is a really hopeful opportunity for us as a country, and I hope politics don't get in the road of that and distract us from this opportunity.
Well, I do want to keep on the little political bandwagon just for a little bit longer. Jacinta Ngoutu, He Puapua, you were one of the authors of that report. Minister Willie Jackson was very clear that He Puapua was not the government's proposal, strategy going forward, but then he was also very clear that there may be aspects of He Puapua that people bring up and submit. There may be recommendations that come out from the group that is working on the UNDRIP that does come out, has arised out of He Puapua. He's correct, isn't it? It's not their strategy, but there is much in He Puapua that can be worked on, developed, and accelerated or developed as we go forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as I said, we were ministerially appointed as a group of nine to start putting some ideas down. And all that we could do is put some ideas down. It was never meant to be that what we were writing would be government policy. Of course it would not be. So all that we could do was put together some ideas. We did that quite a short period of time. And it's just meant to be a discussion document, a discussion point to think, wow, that was a good idea, or gosh, that's not a very good idea at all. I think it's can be helpful if you're going out to think about how we as a country could become compliant with Te Tiriti o Waitangi. How could we have an amazing reconciled country that we're all really proud of and that's working for every single one of us here in New Zealand? It's, how can we get to that? And I think it's useful to have some written down ideas, like we did, to think about and say, you know, okay, well, I could see that working, or no, I don't think that could work. It's just meant to be helpful in that consultation phase for the government. It was never meant to be government policy. Absolutely not.
Constitutional issues then, and that speaks to our place in the Commonwealth or a republic then. And, you know, it's not a new topic. It has had its time being discussed in little pockets here, there and everywhere. It most probably will come up for Māori. I guess one of the issues, though, is where does the treaty fit under a republic? That has been talked about before. That'll have to be further detailed and drilled down into. So where does the treaty fit in the republic?
Yeah, so these are big questions that have been around for a long time. Look, if we want to move away from that constitutional monarch, if we want to move away from the Queen as our head of state, then we've got an opportunity here to think about who is our head of state, what kind of country do we have, and in that discussion we can elevate Te Tiriti or Waitangi to whatever point we wish it to be. We can reconfirm it as our founding constitutional document. And this isn't something new at all, even just tinkering or playing with our constitutional design and makeup. You know, for 100 years here in New Zealand, we had a two-house chamber. So we had an upper house and our lower house. Our lower house is our House of Representatives right now. And we only disestablished that higher house in the late 1940s, early 1950s. And so we've always kind of had that opportunity to change how we construct politics, who governs us, how we are governed, both internally and externally. And whether we, as we move perhaps to having more formal discussions around becoming a republic, there's a rightful, easy place for us to reconfirm Te Tiriti or Waitangi as part of our constitution.
And then some would say that the Te Tiriti should be the constitution. I mean, there is that kōrero as well too.
And I think we as a country are pretty much close to that anyway. Look, there's been a long line of judicial cases now confirming since the 1980s that Te Tiriti or Waitangi, the Treaty of Waitangi, is part of our constitution. Some judges will talk about it being, our first constitutional moment, our first constitutional document. So I think we're partly there in already grounding Te Tiriti or Waitangi as the constitutional document of Aotearoa New Zealand. Much of our law and policy today is about recognising that 1840 moment and how we have a recognition that these lands and waters were once entirely owned by Māori. And they, on the most part, never voluntarily relinquished those lands and waters. And so we have to face up to that truth of our recent history and try and work through a respectful way forward for us as a country that's going to honour our first owners, our first guardians, the first to care and love for these lands and waters, and those who continue to wish to love and care for these waters for the benefit of all of us across the country.